Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Not as good as you guys. Congratulations on the next 15 minutes of your lives.
We thank you for that, as we do every week. It is a highlight of our week. And, Corey, I want to start here with you. You, unlike my colleague Joe Rexroth over here, actually attended the NFL Combine and enjoyed the glory.
Let's put that into context. I visited the Combine, okay?
Was it same day?
I was there 2.5 hours.
We're talking. Okay. That's how you do it. Up and back, baby.
We left at 3:45 in the morning. I was back in the car by 11, back in Nashville by 3:30.
Did you at least get like some Shapiro's Deli on your way out of town?
No, we had to be back for the 4 o'clock news.
Wow, that's a veteran move.
Arby's?
By Corey Curtis.
I do like Arby's. I think Arby's is vastly overattacked. The beef and cheddar is a wonderful sandwich and not to be ostracized in the fast food community.
No free shout-outs here on the program.
That was a very good free ad.
It was.
Corey Curtis segment now brought to you by Arby's.
That's right. So, Corey, as you listen to Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi talk, what, if anything, stood out to you the most from those two?
You know what? What stood out to me most was when Brian Callahan was talking about, you know, taking players that fit his scheme or taking the best players. We didn't hear about collaboration. We didn't hear about, hey, we all agree on everything together. We heard, hey, it's my job to coach. It's their job to find the best players possible. And I think that was a big change. That's more of the old school way of doing it. And I think it's the better way of doing it. You know, you find the best players and then you go play with them. And I thought that really stood out to me that there was a shift in the way that they were doing these things. Not to say that Brian Callahan's input shouldn't be involved, but you know, his job is to coach the team. And the other guys, their job, they spend all their time on finding the best players. So that is absolutely what they should be doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have to disagree a little bit with that. I guess it depends on – it's probably maybe a matter of semantics here. But, I mean – I get that we're all sick in this town of the word collaboration.
Yes, we are.
But
okay, Ken Whisenhunt had to have Doriel Green Beckham, all right? And he had to have Bishop Sankey, okay? When you allow the non-personnel people to pick the personnel,
okay,
it generally doesn't go great.
Okay, well, in 2016, Mike Mularkey said, John, I really think we should do Derrick Henry. I know you don't want to do Derrick Henry, but I've been talked into it by Blake Bedingfield. I really think we should. And they took – I mean, I'm sure you can find plenty of examples both ways. What's that?
But what did you just say? I've been talked into it by –
Well,
one of their main scouts.
Well, of course, but that's still the coach. I guess what I'm saying is because
nobody talked Wiz into Doriel Green Beckham.
That's true.
No, well, that's fine. But now we're talking about different things, right? You're talking about a coach who oversteps.
Yeah,
I'm still saying I want my personnel people absolutely working closely with my coaches. I want Bill Callahan. I'm not drafting offensive lineman that he doesn't want, for example, right?
I want their input. All right, I want their input, but I don't want them making the picks.
Okay, I mean that's fine. Yeah, it's just there's a little bit of like get Brian out of there. Now I guess if he's truly a lame duck coach,
I don't want look, he doesn't get like 1/4 the vote. Okay, he gets his input. You know, Brian, what do you think of these quarterbacks? This is what I think. I think we can do this. I can think. Thank you. That's it to me.
Thank you. Go back to your office. We'll let you know who your quarterback's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, basically.
I'm not on board with that. Sorry. Okay. No, I'm also not an NFL, executive. So guess maybe that's why. Yeah, not yet. Right.
Still, it's coming down the pipe at some point here.
I do have a fantasy football team, and no one gets input on my selection.
That's right. No doubt. So, Corey, the quarterback movement, or I guess lack thereof, has begun. So Stafford is back to the Rams, so he's not going anywhere. Apparently now the Giants are I guess, entertaining the idea of Aaron Rodgers. So
we'll
see what happens with Darnold after all that. But, like, you know, Derek Carr looks like he's staying in New Orleans at the Saints. So I'm looking at the veteran options, some of which are dwindling right in front of our very eyes, and not loving what I'm seeing out there right now if I'm Tennessee Titans.
Look, there are a couple of people who are loving what's happening. And number one is Sam Darnold, because his price tag just keeps going up with each one of these guys staying, all right? Because now there are a bunch of teams basically competing for one guy, all right? And then the other guy is Cam Ward, because, you know, there are the competition for him at one is ramping up too, because, you know, there are teams that are just, you know, that were in the market possibly for a veteran, and now that market outside of Sam Darnold is gone, and you still have to be convinced that Darnold, you know, for the amount of money you're going to give him, is the guy who can take you, you know, where you need to go. And I think it also, you know, I heard your earlier segment, you know, talking about drafting quarterbacks. It just goes to show you how difficult it is to fill that position. It's terrifying to turn your back on a guy who can produce, because you can be the Chicago Bears and be looking for that guy for 50 years.
What else, Corey, from last week, whatever it may be, you know, whether it's prospects, interviews, just moves around the league, there've been, you know, we're seeing some things actually move, really, really jumps out to you right now?
Well, obviously, you know, the Stafford and Carr things were big, you know, from seeing how those dominoes start to fall. You know, I it was interesting. You know, Deebo Samuel goes for what, like a fourth or a fifth?
Fifth.
Yeah. And, you know, Deebo Samuel is a good football player, but can't stay healthy. You could argue with his fitness level. I mean, is that fair?
Yes. From some of the reporting out there, yes.
Yeah. I mean, so, look, I don't blame Washington for going after him, but you would have thought the return might be a little higher for a player of that caliber, but it just goes to show you kind of, you know, where he is at, you know, with right there, you know, and it's, as far as the combine goes, it is amazing the swings that can happen when guys don't even work out. Did Abdul Carter work out?
He did not.
No. Did Cam Ward work out?
He did not.
Yet in 4 days, we go from, oh my gosh, the Titans are taking Abdul Carter, to, oh my gosh, the Titans are taking Cam Ward.
Well, so to that point, you know, the injury stuff with Carter, you know, it's the stress reaction. We have gotten a lot of people that want no part of the Titans messing with quote-unquote injured players. Now, I would argue it's football. You're going to have a tough time finding players that have never been injured before. And this has not been, you know, some stress fracture yet that he's had to deal with. So when you heard Abdul Carter stuff, what did you think, and does that influence the way you view him?
It really, look, I'd have to know more about the injury to the foot, but if you recall, Derrick Henry had a stress fracture to the foot, and he somehow has pulled through to the other side and done okay. You know, not everyone has the same difficulty Javon Kurtz and Kevin Dodd had with that injury. Now, feet are tricky because the veins and the muscles and the bones are all small, and so they're tougher to heal sometimes. But, I mean, they're not even recommending surgery for this. I was thinking about this before I came on. As you look at the top four picks, you know, because the Titans have those top four guys all visiting, it's obvious one of those guys is probably going to be in two-tone blue, and unless they trade way back. You think about what's the chances that they're going to be a successful NFL player. I would say I would put 90% that I think Abdul Carter is going to be a really good player. I would put 99% on Travis Hunter is going to be a really good player. I'd put 50%, maybe 70%, somewhere between there and Cam Ward, and I'd probably be 50% or a little lower on Shedeur Sanders.
Wait, 50? Okay, 50 to 70 on Cam Ward being what? Yeah.
Being a good football player. I like Cam Ward.
Like a quarterback, you'd be happy that you took number one overall.
I'm getting there. I've watched his tape, and I like what he's all about. It's picking that position is terrifying, as you talked about. but that can't – without that position, you're nothing, okay? So you can't let past failure dictate, well, we're not going to take a quarterback because this guy didn't work out. That's got nothing to do with it. All that matters is your evaluation on this player, all right? This player.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, if you trust this player is going to be a successful quarterback, then I don't see how you cannot take him. You have to take him because you don't know where you're going to pick next year. You don't know what's going to be available next year, all right, or the year after that. So if you have the chance, again, I'll bring up Floyd's name. I talked with Floyd back when they had a quarterback, and he said it doesn't matter if you have a quarterback or not. If you're picking and there is a franchise quarterback on the board, you take him. And so if you view him as a franchise quarterback, you have to take him. And there are a lot of people right now who apparently do. I think he looks pretty darn good. I think his track record is pretty darn good. I think his ability to adapt to new systems and to lead new teammates all look good. He's not about, you know, his social media profile. He's not about his brand. He's about football. And as you talk about building a culture, that's what you want. You want a guy who's about winning and about football and about work. And as far as I can tell, and I've never met Cam Ward, but everything I've seen from him on his videos on Twitter and interviews that he's done, the guy's about football. And I'm going off on a tangent a little bit here, but that's why I'm so much higher on him right now than I am on Shadur. I don't dislike Shadur. I'm not overly impressed. I see Tyrod Taylor when I see Shadur.
Very interesting. I mean, I think the general consensus is that Ward has created some separation here as the draft process has gone along, but we'll see what that ends up meaning for the Titans and how those meetings go and so forth this week. Corey, thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
Very good. And I agree with you. A second-round pick, and I like Gus Nyquist. That's a steal. I don't care if they paid 4/5 of his salary. That's a phenomenal deal. And if someone gives Barry Trotz a second-round pick for Michael McCarron, we should just give him the keys to the city and make him mayor.
We'll just forget everything. Just Barry, we know it didn't go very well this year, but
yeah, but
you got McCarron.
You just absolutely stole on this deal. And look, I like Michael McCarron. He is fine, but you can find Michael McCarron.
Oh, I'm with you. It's interesting this time of year how different teams view players and what they're willing to give up. I'm very fascinated by what it's going to look like.
Is there any difference between Michael McCarron and Yusuf Harsanen?
Different types of guys, but like from a profile standpoint, like both got pretty
big
good size.
Forwards skating on your third or your fourth line.
Right. So you could find those guys, but
yeah,
some teams feel like a guy like that is all they're away from winning the championship.
It's called an identity line, guys.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know what? How did that Tanner Janot trade work out for Tampa?
Not very well.
Not well for the Preds.
Didn't go so hot for the Lightning.
Yeah. That one really hasn't.
Kind of a dud.
But you know what? Like you said, when you're trying to win the cup, you take those swings.
Yep, no
you
doubt.
Take those swings.
Corey
so,
Curtis.
I get it.
Brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, good luck with the sweets there, Joe. Keep working out.
Brought to you by Horsey Sauce. Corey Curtis.
You know what? Okay, that's another one, all right? How can you not like the Horsey Sauce?
I like the Arby's.
Good stuff.
I like the Arby's better, but that's just me.
It's good stuff. No,
look, that's like pouring straight sugar on your sandwich.
I know, that's why I like it. That's why I'm giving up sweets for Lent.
I can see Joe. He's sitting there in his little booth, and he's got an IV of Arby sauce dripping into him.
You know, I could see
that's
too.
Lovely image. Thanks, Corey.
And washing it down, dipping some Wendy's fries into his Frosty.
Yeah.
Oh,
touching all the bases.
I have done that. You know me too well.
We'll see you, Corey.
See ya.
Later.
Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say. There's some interesting stuff there on the end of the quarterbacks. He's seemingly a pretty big fan of Cam Ward. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.